Oh, we're at overtime. Okay. You know what? We're in the beautiful Florida Theater, ladies and gentlemen, in Jacksonville, Florida. It's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous place to be. It's so beautiful. I want to be interred here. I honestly do. You can, right there is a perfect spot. But anyway, I want to say that this is where Elvis did his first indoor performance. He was with the Hayride for a long time. And Mississippi Hayride, great show. It must have been a great show. I'd love to see one of those. They don't have them anymore, I don't think. Anyway, he was here, and so I was using his dressing room. It was, you know, it's not spacious or anything like that, but it must have been the Elvis dressing room. And I was looking through all the drawers, mementos or something like that. I found a reel of tape, a small reel of tape. And I'll play it for you. It's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Let me play it for you. It's a small reel of tape.
Elvis, backstage at the Florida Theater. Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you.
Well, what do you know? Well, that set you back on your heels.
Live from the historic Florida Theater in Jacksonville, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Tony Steve on drums, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's all the North Florida news that isn't. Plus, we meet Jacksonville's most interesting man, Wayne Wood, and play a Fountain City round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who says, "Won't you wear my ring around your neck?" Michael Feldman.
Yes, sir. But no, I've always wondered about wear your ring around my neck. How small was her neck that his ring would fit around it? Anyway, how are y'all? Jacksonville, nice to be here. Thank you for having us. Gorgeous, up and coming, biggest city in Florida, both in size and girth and width and population. And so it's the number one city as far as I'm concerned. In fact, we're all concerned, in Florida. It's the place to be, and it's where we are. And the big news, of course, in Florida right now is you can now smoke pot if you're dying. So I'm weighing it. There is a downside, of course, but the pain of living deserves a little consideration, too, I think. Maybe load up a swisher after dinner, you know. Not every dinner, but. Well, it's great to be here in Jacksonville, all 1,000 square miles of you, and that's just what's above water. Duval, just the beginning. You know, the great annexation back in the 60s, Jacksonville annexed everything around it, which was actually a brilliant move, but I don't think it should end. I think it should go on because there is manifest destiny here, Jacksonville manifest destiny. The next great annexation, first, I think, get Baldwin, finally, pacify Baldwin. You know, they're the one holdout there. Then McClenny, then the Osceola National Forest. We're moving west here. We got air cover from the Navy. Lake City, White Springs, Live Oak, Madison, Lee, Monticello. Finally, Tallahassee, right up to Tate's Hell, ladies and gentlemen. Greater Jacksonville. So. None dare call it sprawl. So great to be back here in the land of outdoor, unheated, 45-degree pools. You guys are so used to that. Nobody was even in the pool. You know, you just take it for granted. You can do that this time of year. Still back in Wisconsin, we have to break the ice to get that kind of what don't kill you makes you stronger treat. You remember Wisconsin, where your ancestors lived? The hardy folk, we didn't know it could be any other way. That's Wisconsin. So I know we got people from Wisconsin. Would you applaud if you are actually from Wisconsin originally and thought better of it? Minnesota, we'll throw in Minnesota. The Dakotas? Okay, that's Florida. Yeah, they don't get it in the Dakotas. They don't ever leave there for some reason. Of course, Jeb Bush said Florida is paradise, but he may have meant compared to New Hampshire. Not that Eden is not without its problems. You know, back in Eden, they had talking snakes, and here they have a walking catfish. You know, guys who think throwing a gator into a Wendy's drive-thru is funny. or getting shot by the very puppy you're trying to shoot, that kind of thing, you know. Ben Carson slipping in to get a fresh set of clothes right in the middle of a primary. It's always Florida. You know, it's always Florida in the news, and it's not your fault. Some of it is. And the invasive species, or as I prefer, the non-native or undocumented species. All the escape pets and landscaping mistakes. That's it. Eliminate pet shops and landscapers and case closed. No more invasive species. It's... On the other hand, who knew that the catfish in your aquarium could walk? What were the odds on that? That's like evolution or something is what I'm thinking, and I think it should be encouraged. Are you hearing any of this? I don't think so. That's okay. We'll print this up and pass it to you and look at it at home, see what you think. And pythons, you know, who brought the first python, you know? I can see how a python could really seem like a good pet to people who are sick of their gerbils. Tired of their rats, their cats, and their small dogs, something like that. And so, you got a python, honey, sure, why not? Really, the most impressive thing about pythons, besides being, you know, 9 to 12 feet long and in your yard, is how they manage to reproduce with everybody looking for them, you know? When do they find the time, really? They're quite good at it. I'd like to see it happen, frankly. That'd be worth it. The effort on their part. Let's see. Actually, in Florida, we're all invasive species, though, so that's the way I look at it, or non-native, you know, except the Seminoles and the mangroves. So the gators, I don't know. Some kid probably thought a little one was really cute a long, long time ago, in prehistory, and that's why there are gators here. Well, in all the Jacksonville and some of the Florida news that isn't, Florida is going to begin offering a bounty by the foot for Burmese pythons. They're going to $11.50 a foot. A 9-footer can therefore net you $1.350. $103.50, that would be. The tip is use a freshly killed coyote as bait. They don't go for the roadkill, so that's the only thing I would suggest. Spring break for sharks time, as 10,000 of them are doing God knows what off Palm Beach. Like the other spring breakers. The 18-year-old in West Palm Beach is leaving his medical practice because Medicare will just not cover most of the procedures he wants done. The Miami woman who woke up to kisses from a kinkajou says, what the heck, better than nothing. The housing market is looking up in Jacksonville after a San Marco home sold for $10 million as a teardown. So that's a very good sign. Spend $10 million and tear it down, that means something good is happening in the housing market. Jacksonville will refurbish its 1980s people mover by painting passenger silhouettes on the windows. And say, for a stand-up paddleboarding thrill, you won't forget, ask for Tiffany at Neptune Beach. But be careful, there's a lot of Tiffany's at Neptune Beach, so get the right one. Aggravated assault with a deadly weapon hardly describes throwing a baby alligator through a Wendy's window, I don't think. There have been 30 unprovoked shark attacks in Florida in 2015. The state refuses to release the provoked attack totals. And you know there are some, let's face it. This is Florida. Someone's going to be provoking a shark. Amelia Island's Biggest Loser resort not attracting as many losers as they expected. It could be the name. The $3.9 million renovation at the Jaguars Everbank Field will go to remove the scoreboard since it is unnecessary. And it had to be the biggest scoreboard in the world, right? You know, that makes it even worse, doesn't it? Some irony there, I thought. The First Coast School District deems all teachers not as bad as some and some better than others in the evaluation. The new record for Florida tourism in 2015 is 54.1 million visitors, although 1 million were Burmese pythons. And another million were Canadians. You can't really, I don't know. They didn't really know where they were. They thought they were. Hunters bagged 298 black bears and Ted Nugent in the first season in 20 years. Boy, I wouldn't want to dress out Ted Nugent, I'll tell you that. First, you got to drag him out of the woods and you got to, oh, geez, clean him up. Oh, geez. The barbecue taco, not quite perfected, I've discovered. Come on, barbecue tacos. For those who say nothing's shaking in St. Augustine, let them zip line over a pit of alligators and afterwards the ice plant bar for a Blazing Saddles. Or maybe you should do that first and then go over a pit of alligators, zip line. The Georgia Sea Turtle Center at Jekyll Island is offering a ride a sea turtle while you're stinking drunk opportunity. Florida Governor Rick Scott reveals he is not a scientist. And least of all, not a political scientist. And after South Florida attains statehood, the First Coast will become the 52nd State of the Union. Great to be here, Jacksonville. Thank you so much for having us. That's all Jacksonville news that isn't, and some of the Florida news. That got in there as well. And tonight, Foreigner. The hit's Unplugged, ladies and gentlemen. Feels like the first time. Hot-blooded. I see one of those things, you know. They should be doing, like, public television fundraisers now, Foreigner. You know, they get these old bands and you know, they bring them back and they do the fundraising. Dirty White Boy. Cold as ice. All right. Wayne Wood, everyone says, is the most interesting man in Jacksonville. If he's not, I'm going to be really disappointed. Would you welcome, please, Wayne Wood, ladies and gentlemen. The man about town. We got to make this interesting. They say you're enigmatic and ubiquitous. How do you feel about that?
I'm feeling pretty good about being everywhere.
You're everywhere at the same time?
Well, everywhere I can be.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville is so big, it's quite a responsibility.
Yeah. And you wear a lot of hats, I understand.
I wear a lot of hats. Yeah. I have a hat collection to wear one every week of the year, and I started to wear one, but I knew it wouldn't show up on radio, so I didn't wear my hat today.
I would have seen it. You would have seen it. Yeah. Which one would you have worn, do you think?
Pardon me?
Which hat would you have worn?
I think I would have worn my high top silk hat. It's very, very erudite and sophisticated looking. And for an erudite and sophisticated show like this, I would certainly want to fit in.
I know what I wanted to ask you. This is the Khan's vision for the ship harbor here, the deep water harbor. Because he says we need an icon. I don't know if he means an I-K-H-A-N. Or an I-C-O-N, but anyhow, well, what do you think of it as architecture? Because you very much...
Not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah.
It's big and bold and trite and probably ain't going to happen. Yeah. Just like a lot of things in Jacksonville history, great ideas were put forth. They haven't quite happened yet. Jacksonville, for over a century, has been a city that's just about to be one of the great cities in the world, and that may continue for another 100 years. Oh.
On the verge.
On the verge.
On the verge of greatness. They don't like that. He said, Khan said, to have a viable downtown, people have to be able to live in it. You have to have a grocery store and a Starbucks.
Well, that's true. I mean, every downtown across America went through a period of decline in the 50s and 60s and are making a comeback. Jacksonville is on the threshold, and I really mean this, of becoming a truly amazing city. We don't want Jacksonville to become the biggest city in the world, even though it is very large in size. Yeah. We want it to be big in quality of life and to celebrate the arts. And our quality of life here is amazing. And I have some trepidation about going on your show and broadcasting to all those people up in Wisconsin to tell you just about how great Jacksonville really is.
Yeah.
Because I'm afraid they'll move down here and ruin the place.
Yeah, thank you.
We want to keep Jacksonville a secret.
I'd like not to resent that, but I'm having trouble.
And I will reveal, for those of your neighbors and colleagues who want to move to Jacksonville, there is a secret password to get into Jacksonville.
There is.
There is. And our audience knows
what it. What is it?
And the name of our county, some people call it Duval.
Yeah.
But in response to that, everyone in Jacksonville knows how to pronounce it in our own special way. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask the audience to participate. What is the name of our county? Duval!
With a do oo?
With a oo? With a big accent on the do.
Yeah. Is it ooh ooh?
Do,
Ooh, Duval.
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 So keep it a secret.
All right, I can get in on it. I'll do that. Hysterical preservation.
Hysterical preservation.
You're a big fan.
Back in the 70s, I lived in the wonderful old neighborhood of Riverside and Avondale, which, like many old parasuburban neighborhoods, were falling apart in the 70s. Shopping malls in the suburbs, interstate highways had taken people away from the core of the city, and so these old neighborhoods were crumbling. And we started an organization, not knowing if anyone would care, to try to save this old neighborhood. And after about a year, we realized we were part of a nationwide movement in old neighborhoods like this that were falling apart and being revived at the same time when us neo-hippies and paraprofessionals were moving back into these big old houses. Mm. And now Riverside and Avondale is one of the largest historic districts in the South, and it also was named by the American Planning Association as one of the 10 great neighborhoods in America.
Yeah. And that was in the 70s. That movement, it started everywhere, actually, somehow at the same time.
At the same time. We had no idea we were part of a movement, but that spread throughout Jacksonville, and there are many great old neighborhoods like Springfield and San Marco and Mandarin that are making a revival, as well as our downtown core. And I'm very much an advocate for revitalizing our downtown area.
Yeah, and you call it a radical conservative liberal concept.
That's right.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good if you can put the S together.
Progressive.
Yeah,
we're progressive.
Some odd bedfellows, probably, in terms of preservation.
Well, we have to get everyone on board. Jacksonville has for centuries been lacking sometimes in progressive leadership. We've had great moments, and one of the great things about Jacksonville is going back to its very beginnings. It started out as a village where Native Americans camped on the banks of the Great St. John's River, one of the few rivers in the world, major rivers, that flows north.
Yeah.
And so the Native Americans...
You know, I heard that that's not true, that there's a lot of them that do it, but they don't talk about them.
Well, that's probably true. But nonetheless...
That's cool, anyway. That's cool.
The Native Americans had a village on the banks of the river at the narrowest point, and they called it Wakapalatka, which translated loosely is the place where the cows get across the river.
Yeah.
When the British came along and took over Florida, they changed it to the Cowford. And it was where the river was not shallow, but it was where it was narrow so they could get the cows across.
Get the cows.
And then in the 18...
So it's always been about cows.
It's always been about cows.
Yeah.
Somewhat
pigs,
bull and cows,
cows
and barbecue and so forth.
Yeah.
So a cattle rustler from Georgia came down and built his cabin on the banks of the river. His name was Isaiah D. Hart. And he decided to form a town, and it's been going uphill ever since.
Yeah.
And because the Native Americans weren't too happy about these European-born settlers moving into their area, they pushed back, and they had the Great Seminole Wars of the 1830s and 40s. And because of that, northern soldiers came here to defend those poor people who were trying to be settlers. Mm-hmm. And the same phenomenon happened again in the Civil War. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville was occupied by Union troops four different times. So we've had this perpetual invasion of Yankees, which we've been fighting ever since.
Yeah. Oh, there we go again. I don't know. I was with you right up until that last crack.
And so by the 1870s, they were building big hotels, and Jacksonville actually became the tourist mecca for the eastern United States. Mm-hmm. People from New York and Pennsylvania and New Jersey and even Wisconsin came here for their winter...
You don't need the even in that.
For their winter vacations. And so we've had this problem for a long time, we're still doing our best.
Okay. Remodeling. That's what a lot of these buildings, actually, if they don't demolish them, they remodel them.
Remodeling is a sad thing where someone doesn't understand the innate beauty of some of the architecture that we have. And this is happening throughout the country, that people come in and buy an old property, and instead of restoring it to its former glory, they add porches onto it and awful things that... somebody has to come along in 50 years and undo it, so why even bother, you know?
Yeah. I saw your TED Talk, but I watched that, and that was very good. And you showed some egregious examples of remodeling.
But equally important is preserving old buildings is to build good modern buildings.
Yeah, and like the new library is nice.
No.
It's got those columns. It's lovely.
The new library is a beautiful
hint
space.
Hint of columns.
It has hints of columns. And so my theory is, if you're going to build a new building, it should be viewed as a building that will be a landmark in the future. 100 years from now, they'll look back and say, that was a beautiful building.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when our city government builds buildings, they don't tend to look at how beautiful it's going to be, but the expedience in trying to make a colossal building that will pay homage to the politicians who built it. And so Jacksonville has a number of buildings, for example, our courthouse, which I find is not so pretty. It was an attempt to build a classical-looking building, but it's not a good old building.
No, it's kind of Soviet. It looks Soviet to me.
Yes, it's sort of socialist, yes.
But, I didn't say socialist, I said Soviet.
But the trouble is, if you're going to spend public money on a city building, build something beautiful and marvelous that will reflect the culture and the aspirations of our generation who live here now, so that 100 years from now they'll look back and say, that was a building that stood the test of time, instead of being a building that is colossally ugly.
But we have some good examples of new architecture, do we not?
Well, Jacksonville, interestingly enough, to you from the Midwest, has more prairie-style buildings than any other city outside the Midwest.
Yeah.
In 1901, Jacksonville experienced a cataclysmic fire where the city burned down. A mattress factory caught on fire, and the winds whipped up and swept it across the city, and a swath over 2 miles long and 1 mile wide burned in one afternoon, over 2,000 buildings, 146 blocks, and Jacksonville was like an empty canvas. It was wiped out. It made headlines throughout the country, and a New York architect named Henry Clutho read the New York Times that Jacksonville had burned to the ground and said, I'm going to go there and help rebuild that city, and within 2 months he was here, and he built buildings in the classical vein that were typical of that time.
Yeah.
But in 1905, he got married and went to Niagara Falls on his honeymoon and heard that this young architect named Frank Lloyd Wright was designing two great buildings in nearby Buffalo, New York. He went there and met Frank Lloyd Wright and became good friends and came back to Jacksonville as a champion of this new architectural style that was destined to change America, so they thought. And our city hall is now the largest prairie-style building in the world. It was formerly a department store that took up an entire city block, and now it is our city hall and has been lovingly restored and is one of the proud icons of our city.
Excellent example. You know, you're really interesting. Did anyone ever tell you that? It's amazing. There's so much that comes out of you. And I know that you're interested, too, in not just the major buildings, but the houses that people live in, and that's part of this too. And but would that include the ranch house?
Ironically, when we started our preservation movement here in Jacksonville, we were concerned about saving buildings of classical types of architecture, and we sort of got heartburn every time we drove through some of the 1950s and 60s neighborhood such as Arlington and others that were filled with these banal ranch-style houses. Now, the National Register views buildings that are 50 years old as eligible for the National Register.
So they're historic.
Yeah. And so now we're realizing that some of these ranch-style houses were actually pretty cool architecture. And architects like Bob Broward and Bill Morgan and Taylor Hardwick, who have become known throughout the country for their mid-century modern architecture, are not only worthy of being saved, but it's an important thing to do. One of our most kitschy buildings downtown is the Hayden Burns Library, which is this 1960s building with wings and fins and colors. And most people thought, oh, that's sort of out of style. Mm-hmm. But once you look at it and you realize what a great work of art it is, and this is true of mid-century modern buildings all across mm-hmm. the country, we're starting to change our view that these buildings are not only an icon of their particular time, but they're really beautiful, and they will stand the test of time. And 100 years from now, people will come to Jacksonville, and they'll want to see the Hayden Burns Library, which has recently been lovingly restored by the DuPont Foundation. Yeah.
And, of course, you're involved in so many things, not just preservation, that's a very important thing, but in the arts community, and are you part of this, the arts area, is it an art street thing, or what does that call it?
There's a lot of art in Jacksonville, yes. And one of the charming things about this city is not only its weather, its climate, and its location, we have a very vibrant arts community, very progressive, that are just doing amazing things. Several years ago, we had the idea to do a market under a bridge, because it does occasionally rain in Florida, and so when it does, it's nice to be able to have outdoor events, and so we built it under the newly built Fuller Warren Bridge, the Riverside Arts Market, which now is probably the largest. Come on, Riverside Arts Market.
Was that your idea? Or your
I was one of the founders of that, and it is now the largest free outdoor arts and entertainment venue in the state of Florida.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful.
Every Saturday under the bridge. And but to capitalize on our arts, we have a burgeoning arts district throughout downtown, Springfield, Riverside. We have a 100,000-foot old warehouse that they now call Cork that has over 100 artists with their studios there. We have a new big manufacturing plant from the early part of the century that's now the Union, and artists are making their studios there. So artists out there, come to Jacksonville. You'll find your place here. This is really a place where arts and culture happens, and not just entertainment like here in the Florida Theater. We have over 10 major museums. We have performing arts centers. Jacksonville is becoming a cultural center of this part of the country.
Yeah. Say something good about it. Wayne Wood, the man now, okay. Do you not like to talk about yourself?
I'm pretty shy.
Okay. Yeah, you seem kind of withdrawn. I noticed that. But I'm just, you know, this. No, okay, ubiquitous. Okay, I get that. That's pretty.
It's hard to pronounce.
Yeah, it is. I don't think I did it. Anyway, enigmatic, though. Do you consider yourself to be enigmatic?
I don't. I'm just out there.
Where do they get that? Where does that come from?
I don't know who they is. So they
I don't know. Folio, so Weekly. It's not that you're enigmatic.
Well, my friend Jen Chase did an article about me in Folio magazine,
and you had girls falling all over you, and you're enigmatic, and you're mysterious.
And so they thought it would be funny to put me on the cover, surrounded by beautiful, sexy young women, and because I look just a slight amount like the guy in the Mexican beer commercials, that's the most interesting man in the world.
The Cuervo.
That's where that came from, and I don't really feel that interesting, but I guess you could say I'm probably the guy that has the most fun in Jacksonville. If you put that as my title, I would be glad to accept that, because I do have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Wayne, I want to thank you so much for speaking with us. I know there's much more we could cover, but thank you. Wayne Wood, ladies and gentlemen.
Michael, it's a pleasure.
Proving that he is the most interesting guy in Jacksonville, unless you can talk to someone better. Going to be hard. Boys in the band here, of course, are with us down here in Jacksonville, and they're very happy to be.
Yes, we are.
Yes, you are. And have you got around the town a little bit?
A little bit. Just drove around a little bit. Got lost a couple times, but that's good. Yeah. You know? I wasn't going anywhere anyway, so I guess technically I wasn't really lost. I just didn't know where I was.
Okay. You know, you've never been called the most interesting man in Madison, Wisconsin.
No. Mainly because I don't live there, but. Yeah.
There you go, Orange Cut. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. I love it. You know that.
Yeah.
Introduce the band. Here we go.
Well, our you know, regular erstwhile bass player, Mr. Jeff Hammond.
Erstwhile, is that good or bad?
And a great guy. I hesitate to call him local because he plays all over the place, but on drums we have Tony Steve.
Tony. He played with Foreigner. Didn't he play with Foreigner for a while?
He might have. I don't know. He's played with a lot of people.
Yeah, cool.
And so I got a little tune here by Cole Porter. It's called Dream Dancing.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Let's go down here in the audience. How are you? How are you all doing down here? Okay. Well, that's good. Let's start with this one. I like this one here. John Hughes, student. Mom said, if you read this, I'm not grounded anymore. Where is young John Hughes? You're not grounded, John. You still get grounded at your age? That's one. Come on down here. Let's find out why you were grounded. Let him through here. Let's dig a little deeper into this and see actually if I want to get involved. But you're free now anyhow to go and do it again, whatever it was. Do you even remember what it was? Do you? Okay, you do. That's good. That's a good start anyway. How are you?
Good. Yeah. How are you?
How long have you been? Fine, thank you. How long have you been grounded?
About a week now.
Week now? Can you describe the mitigating circumstances that led to this misapprehension of what you did?
My French grade.
Oh, your French grade.
Yeah, I'm not the best at foreign languages.
Okay. And you're grounded for... How do you say grounded in French?
I wouldn't know.
You know, that's the first thing I would look up, you know, like I say... Say, Mom, if I know how to say ground, you're grounded in French. Yeah. So how much longer you got to serve?
Till I get it up.
Okay. Well, what was the grade that we're talking about here?
D.
Ooh.
How do you say D in French?
De.
That sounded really authentic to me. Okay, you're free now. Go ahead. Take a different language. Take Spanish. It's a lot easier.
Thank you.
Okay. Because Spanish, you don't have to do the mouth things. All right, glad I could help. Oh, here's another one. Is it Allie Tiernan? Or Ellie Tiernan? Allie Tiernan. Tiernan. Age 11. Where are you? Okay. Can I get there from here? Why don't you come over towards me this way, if you can, and I will meet you somewhere over here. Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Is that an A?
No, it's an O.
Oh, Ollie Tiernan. Okay. How are you?
I'm good.
You just said that. And you're from Atlantic Beach, it says here. That's nice. What's it like to live on a beach?
I don't really live on a beach.
You don't live on the beach itself?
Well, I live in Atlantic Beach, but it's not on the beach.
On the beach. Are you close to the beach?
Yeah, so.
I mean, are you on the beach all the time? Are you doing beach things?
No, not all the time.
No. What sorts of things do you do on the beach? What do kids do on the beach, on Atlantic Beach?
I don't know. I usually make sandcastles.
Sandcastles?
Yeah.
You don't do that stand-up paddle boarding, whatever it is?
No.
Surfing or anything?
No.
Okay. Are you sure you want to be living on Atlantic Beach? Maybe you'd like to go inland a little more. Sandcastles is not really worth, you know.
Well, I don't know.
And so you're age 11 here, and what is your question?
What do I need to do to be a host on NPR?
Well, you speak English. That's a good start. Other than that, there's not yet. When I actually got my license, my radio license, it's a Class C license. All you have to do is sign your name in English.
Oh, that, well, that's easy.
Okay, so you're in. You're practically in.
Okay.
I would just say, you know, keep at, is there a station at your school, a radio station?
All right.
Is there a station at your school? Radio station at your school?
No.
Okay, well, that's not going to help you then. I would simply fly right to Washington and bang on the door there at NPR. And
yeah, okay.
You want to do your show, do your own show.
All right, I will do that.
I think you'll be very good.
All right. All right,
very nice to meet you.
Very nice.
Holly. Look for Holly Tiernan on All Things Considered. And I don't know, Amy Jacksonville Nurse, if you were a 10-year-old boy and had to write a paper and dress up as a person from ancient history, who would it be? And why do you want to know, Amy? You're a nurse and you're not a 10-year-old boy, and why would you want to dress up? What? Oh, there you are. You want, can you come down here and I get to the bottom of this? Let me see if I can go through it again. You're a 10-year-old boy. You had to write a paper and dress up as a person from ancient history. Do you have a 10-year-old boy that has to? You don't have one.
I don't even have a 10-year-old boy.
No. How did this come up just in conversation?
It's her fault. It is. She's
does she have a 10-year-old boy?
No, she doesn't even have a 10-year-old boy.
How is this possible?
This is a homeschooling question. Oh. So she's part of a homeschooling group, and yeah. We were really stumped on what to ask you. Yeah.
Well, you know, homeschooling is not for everyone, I said.
It's true. It's true.
Okay, well, thanks very much. Yeah. I mean, it goes nowhere, but I don't know where I can go with that, so thank you very much. Because I am not a 10-year-old boy. I don't know who I would be if I were a 10-year-old boy. I'd probably like to be Pippi Longstocking, just for a little change of pace. My question for you, Mr. Fellow, my husband, who is with me today, has never heard your show. How would you describe it? I don't know. Really? Where's your husband? How would you describe him? Yeah. How would you describe your husband? Is your, pardon me? Is it? I don't know. Celeste Gillespie? Can I get you to stand up here, Celeste? Thank you very much. Celeste, over here. Come over here. Is that the husband in question?
Yes.
Well, how would you describe him?
Embarrassed right now. And I would like to ask if anybody else would give me a ride home, because I don't think he's going to.
You're looking for a ride home, okay. So he did.
You called, I'm dead.
God, that's worse than being grounded. We got one possible death here in the audience. But so you're a fan of the show, but he's not.
Right. Well, it's not that he's not a fan. He didn't know anything about it.
Yeah. That makes it harder to be a fan than...
But at least you know he did not like you.
He seems to be enjoying himself.
Yes.
Would you say the time of your life?
Maybe not that, but close to it.
Are you going to Foreigner tonight? You can stay right in your seat there and Foreigner unplugged.
Tickets?
You stay there. They can't throw you out, you know. It's not that many. That's not a long time. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I couldn't help very much, but it's... It's, you know, whatever this appears to be.
And great.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you. And Celeste needs a ride home if anyone wants to. Celeste Gillespie needs a ride home. Keep her in mind as you're leaving. We're about to play the What Do You Know quiz. That's a chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply for having a fabulous education, homeschooled or otherwise. And... before we can play the quiz, we have to know who can and cannot participate in said quiz. And to that effect, we have...
Gloria Davis.
Gloria Davis, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to get out of your way.
All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Wise men say only fools rush in. I can't help falling in love with you. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Maria, you rock.
Thank you. Very well done. Let's see that. We can have that.
Michael?
Yes, because we don't pay. That's all you get is that sheet of paper.
Michael, I think she deserves a little more than just that sheet of paper. How about a pair of tickets to a preseason game of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Oh. Well earned. Good idea. There it is right now. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. A chance. Well, you seem the most enthusiastic, so. And your husband, we know the situation of a husband and an enthusiastic woman. That's good. Yeah. We divide a lot of couples, I've noticed, but. And you are?
Heather Galnick.
Heather?
Yes.
And Heather, where are you from?
I'm originally from Chicago, but I migrated down here.
And where did you migrate to?
San Marco in Jacksonville.
Nice. Nice move. Heather, give me one good reason why I should play this quiz.
Because I eat all my vegetables.
All right, now give me one good reason why I should play all this.
My neighbor has a tree full of grapefruits, and we just had several this morning.
Don't get that in Chicago, do you?
No, you don't.
Okay, come on, Heather. Come on down here. Join us on the What Do You Know stage at the beautiful Florida Theater. Are you still with me? Okay, I don't know if I lost. You would have a seat there. Make yourself comfortable. That bottle of water.
It's exciting already.
You care to do that? So what are you doing these days?
Well, I work for a staffing company, and
staffing?
I actually am a business writer, so I write proposals, and it sounds really exciting, but...
No, I'm sure it is very exciting.
It is. It is when you win one.
Yes, I bet it is, yeah. And how do you relax from that? It's got to be a job with a lot of emotion behind it. And
oh, yeah.
Yes. So to relax on that, what do you like?
Well, we have one of those 45-degree pools in our backyard. So I sit out there and read and enjoy the Florida sunshine.
Yeah. Do you think a guy could make some money selling pool heaters, like door-to-door in Florida?
I don't know. I've seen some people that will float flip-flops on top of the pool water, and then they'll have some sort of electronic device on there. Yeah. So maybe it'll be an offshoot of that.
Is that related to heating? And it might be something else entirely.
It could be something else, yes.
Okay.
That sounds a little dangerous.
Yeah. Okay. And, okay, so that's great. So you have you like to swim?
No, just sit next to it.
Oh, you sit next to it. Okay. All right, then it doesn't really matter if it's heated or not.
No.
That's what you're saying. Okay, I get you now. And you going to Foreigner tonight?
No. But...
Okay. Did you like Foreigner?
Yes, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Which one did you like the best?
Cold as Ice, I think. Maybe it's because of the... pool.
Because of your pool. Someday you knew you'd be having that pool thing. Okay, you know how this quiz works? Someone out there calls and plays along with you.
Okay.
It's not competitive.
Okay.
It's not much of anything, to tell you the truth. And the answer is we have various categories, don't we, Stephanie?
We do. So first, though, people need to call in. So if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 904-717-7950 and answer this qualifying question.
All right, thank you. Mary Lee is back in Jacksonville and making headlines. The question is, who is she? Mary Lee, very well-known personality. I'm going to call this a personality. But it's Mary Lee. Back in Jacksonville, or very close to it, offshore, perhaps. Mary Lee back in Jacksonville making headlines. Who is she? If you know, give us a call here. What's that number again?
That number again is 904-717-7950.
Okay. Paul's on the line, looks like here. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Michael?
I'm fine. You're in Hilton Head, I see.
Yes, I am.
That's not too shabby either, huh?
No, actually, the sun is out. It's a pretty nice day.
Yeah. Do you live there, or are you just doing some kind of...
I'm down here for about 7 months.
7 months of the year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are 12 months in a year. Did you know that?
I did.
Where do you go for the other five?
I live in Chicago.
See, that's why. You know, Heather made the leap. You could make it too, really.
Well, I might, but it's a little warm here in the summer.
Okay, Paul, Mary Lee making headlines back in Jacksonville. Do you know anything about Mary Lee, who this might be?
Mary Lee.
Mary Lee, not necessarily a person. I'll tell you that much.
Is it a cow?
Is it
a cow? No, it is not a cow.
Okay, how about a hint?
No, it is not a hint. Thanks, Paul.
Okay,
all right,
thank you.
Kenny's on the line in Springfield, Florida. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How's yourself?
Okay. No idea who Mary Lee is, but I'll give it a shot and say she's Sarah Lee's sister and she's making pies.
Okay, nice talking to you. Shelley's in Sparta, Wisconsin. Shelley, have you heard of Mary Lee?
Well, I haven't, but I was. Maybe she was losing a camper.
Maybe.
She lost her RV camper?
No, that's different Mary Lee, I'm afraid.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Bye. Thanks.
Let's go to Neptune. Okay. Neptune Beach. And Mary Lee is calling in from Neptune Beach.
Yes, I am.
Hi, Mary Lee.
Hi, how are you?
Well, it's nice to talk to you. I didn't think I'd have the chance, really, because... Are you the Mary Lee that's making all the headlines?
Well, I possibly could be, but no, she's a great white. Shark.
Yes, she's a great white.
Yeah.
All right. And do you have the same name, or you just use that as your new diploma?
No, my name is Mary Lee. That's my first name.
Oh, that's great.
Spelled just like...
That's great. I don't know what the little beeping sound is every so often. It's rather disturbing. Is it call? Someone's on call waiting? Our phones are on call waiting. Isn't that cute?
It is.
Congratulations, Mary Lee. You're playing the quiz now. This is Heather. She's your partner.
I'm Mary Lee.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Uh-oh. Okay. So you two of you work together. You collaborate. We have various categories, don't we, Stephanie Lee?
We do. Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Mary Lee, you pick the first one.
Things you learned in school.
Things you learned in school. Okay. The Seminoles called it Waka Palatka. The Brits called it Cowford. What do we call it? Jacksonville. Okay, that was a little easy.
Hey.
That came up earlier. But that would be...
That's one right, and okay. The remaining categories are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Heather, what would you like?
How about odds and ends?
Odds and ends? Okay, you got it. All right. What great country star came about when Tug McGraw pitched for the Jacksonville Suns, lived above Betty DeAugustino, resulting in a... I'm sorry? Did you
Tim
say
McGraw?
Tim McGraw?
Oh,
do you agree with that?
Yes.
Yes, Tim McGraw, son of Tug McGraw. Great pitcher. Pitched for the Phillies and the Mets. Yes.
That's two right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, and science.
Okay, Mary Lee.
People, places, and science.
You want all three?
Oh, I thought that was one category.
No, no. There are three... Places is good. All right, before there was Hollywood, before Hollywood made films, there was Burbank, New Jersey, or Jacksonville. Film studios.
Film studios.
Yes, it's true. Jacksonville.
She says Jacksonville.
All right, I agree.
Jacksonville, yes. Holy cow, they won.
We won!
That was almost too easy, wasn't it?
Definitely.
Yes.
Thank you, Mary Lee.
And more recently, the Creature from
Thank
the Black
you.
Lagoon. So now, do you want to try for the mother load?
Sure, absolutely.
We got time for you.
Mary
Lee, are you interested?
We need to go for it, yes.
I'm ready.
Okay. Heather, you're in?
I'm in.
Okay.
All right, so for the mother load, your remaining categories are current events, people, or science.
Okay.
What do you think about people?
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay. We need, this is a percentage one, they're sometimes hard. Percentage of millennials who think that binging on a TV show together counts as romantic activity. So it's percentage now. Is it 39%, 53%, or 69%?
What do you think?
I think the high one, 69. What do you think, Mary Lee?
Don't you think it's
high?
I do,
too, because
seems high.
I think it's romantic.
Seems high?
You do think it's high?
Yeah, I love spending time with my husband watching a show.
Yeah. 69?
You think? Sure.
69%,
yay!
Yes. Binging on TV is romance. Congratulations.
Yay.
What have they won?
Yay!
Heather, you've won jerky from Alligator Bob's, maker of premium meat snacks since 1994, a foam finger from the Jacksonville Suns baseball team, chocolate popcorn from Peter Brook's European-style chocolatier, tickets to hear Frank Sinatra Jr. on March 9th, compass paperweight and hat from the Museum of Science and History, coffee and a glass coffee cup from McDonald's, and a cookbook and seasoning from Clara's Tidbits. We love our customers.
Yay!
Mary Lee, you'll be returning to the Florida Theater in the very near future to hear Herb Albert and Lonnie Hall, then dine at Culhane's Irish Pub, owned and operated by four Irish sisters from Limerick County, Ireland, and you've won astronaut ice cream and a space magnet from the Museum of Science and History, a pair of Jacksonville postcards, taffy from Sweet Pete's Candy Shop, a drink koozie from Intuition Ale, brewed in Jacksonville since 2010, a Southern-style dinner at the Uptown Kitchen and Bar located in historic Springfield, and a pair of koozies from iHeartRadio. Congratulations to both of you.
And I love koozies.
Wow.
Koozies, yes. Love the koozies. Thank you.
Great job. Mary Lee, hang out. We'll make sure you get that. I'll put you on hold for a bit here, but thanks very much for playing. You did a great job.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the beautiful and historic Florida Theater in Jacksonville, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Tony Steve on drums, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's music from Katie Grace Hilo, food and cocktails from Chef Tom of Moxie's Kitchen and Cocktails, plus we get cold-blooded with Bob and Liz Shoemaker and a North Florida round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who says, what about those Jaguars? No, really, what about those Jaguars? Michael Feldman.
Oh, seriously. Joining us right now at the Florida Theater in beautiful Jacksonville, Florida, the beautiful Katie Grace Hilo, ladies and gentlemen, on our stage. She has been called moody indie folk rock. How do you feel about that?
I think I was the one who coined that.
I call it just darn good music. She has an exquisite voice. She's not afraid to foot stomp, which you got to appreciate, you know, especially down here. And someone did say that you make songs with the mud and sand and salt water of your Florida home. I kind of like that a little better than moody indie folk
okay,
rock.
Okay, we'll go with that. That's good.
It's all in there.
Yeah.
And you've been doing it since, what, you're 4 years old? Is that true?
Yeah. Well, not at this level necessarily, but yeah, I'm fortunate enough to have my dad's a musician, and ever since I was a little kid, I would, like, sit on the piano bench next to him, and he would teach me. And actually, my Uncle Phil, who's here with me today, gave me my first guitar.
Hey,
so.
Uncle Phil.
So I've had no lack of support.
That's way cool, playing with your Uncle Phil.
Yeah, it is real cool.
Back there on the Stratocaster.
Yeah.
What do you got here for us?
I've got a couple tunes from Past Lives, the album I just released. And this first one's called Classic Combination.
It was a classic combination of alcohol and frustration. You were low, she was easy, and as a free suggest when my heart keeps saying no. Yeah, my heart keeps saying no. Funny how something that means nothing changes everything. Yeah, funny how something that means.
Thank you.
Your voice is everything a voice should be, I think.
Oh, wow. Can I quote you on that?
Sure. I mean, it's sad, but it's beautiful, and it's just, it makes you think. I got goosebumps. I still got the goosebumps. You're standing.
Awesome.
Very nice. And what a cool uncle. Is he a cool uncle or what?
My sisters and I liked her, sometimes I've referred to him as Uncle Jesse from Full House, if you will. Like the cool musician uncle.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew that until recently, but
yeah, that's cool. My uncle would never do that. He would never do this for me, no matter how much I begged him. He was good in other ways, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. And that's on the new one, that's on Past Lives. Right? On Past
yeah,
Lives.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We gotta pump this up, you know.
Yeah, Past Lives. Yeah. New album, and I actually released it on vinyl, the double vinyl record.
Yeah.
Speaking of honoring history.
Well, did it come out on vinyl or as a CD as well?
It's vinyl or digital, so you can get it on iTunes or you can actually order the vinyl through my website. Yeah.
So are you a vinyl person?
I am. I don't go like crazy about, you know, exclusively vinyl listening or anything, but...
It
but
is
I love
different.
The
it
warmth.
Is so different.
Yeah.
I just started using my record player again. I got played some old. It sounds so different. You actually get the whole thing on vinyl. You know, you don't get it on CD. It's kind of.
It's true. Plus, it kind of brings like the romanticism back to listening to music. You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
You have to sit and take time with it and pay attention for when to flip it. So.
Yeah. When that needle drops, you know.
Everything. That needle drops.
Everything is suspended. What do you got for us,
Nelly?
Another one for us?
Yeah, we got another one from the same album, and this one's called Savior or Sin.
Thank you. talk. See, we are one and the same. So I know every thought that goes coursing through your brain. Ain't no telling.
Katie Grace Hilo, ladies and gentlemen. Uncle Phil.
Phil Hilo. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, not to change gears here or anything, but we do have some reptiles coming up here. So if you have an aversion to them, now's your time to get out. Oh, we already have people leaving. Okay, not everyone loves reptiles, even if you live in Florida, but there are quite a few you got to put up with. And actually, this is a Jacksonville couple, the Shoemakers, Bob and Liz, who run something called the LB Reptile Experience. What? Reptile music? Yeah. Well, I thought there was a cue for me to do something. Okay. He's been giving me cues lately. Would you welcome, please, Bob and Liz Shoemaker from the LB Reptile Experience. Where are the reptiles? They're not loose, are they? Okay, you didn't come on with reptiles, but are they secure wherever they are?
They're secure right now.
Yeah.
For now.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How did you guys get into having 100 reptiles in your house?
My wife bought one for Christmas for her son, and it kind of just kept going.
Yeah. I guess that'll happen to these Christmas presents, huh? What did you get your son?
A boa constrictor.
Good place
and
to start.
That was 16 years ago.
Yeah. You still have the boa, or is it...
Not that one, though.
No. Different one, though, huh?
We have plenty. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Still have a son?
Yes.
That's good. And then you're in the business, though, aren't you? You're like a nuisance.
Well, we're the actual Duval County Gator Boys. We're Gator Snatchers here in Duval County.
You are.
So that's our third job. We actually have full-time jobs during the day.
Really? What do you do during the day?
I work for Baptist Medical Center, and she's a secretary for MV Marine.
Okay. How do you juggle all these reptiles?
Very hard. We got a couple of volunteers, and we do reptile shows for birthdays and everything to keep them fed. And we do the reptile rescue, which is if you have one that you don't want no more, you call the zoo's going to give you our number.
Really?
And then we end up taking them, and we adopt some out, and we do shows with the others.
Well, that's amazing, really. Isn't that incredible, really? It's reptile rescue.
Reptile rescue.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. And are there a lot of nuisance calls that you get? I imagine
not with the reptiles, with the alligators, but with the reptiles, a lot of people's got Craigslist now and things like that where they're trying to get rid of them.
Yeah,
you can't get rid of them. There's always the LB reptile experience.
Yeah, it's a little harder to love a gator, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit harder to love something with some sharp teeth like that.
Yeah,
sure is.
Has anyone ever actually got to the personality part of a gator? It's hard to get to it. I know it's in. You got to get past the teeth and the. But well, do they? They must have personalities.
Yeah, we have some that does a couple of tricks and things like that.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, you can teach them to do some things. Yeah. So.
But there's a limit on how big you can have them, right, in Florida?
Well, we live in a subdivision, so yes, there's a limit on size with us.
How do they feel about you and your subdivision? Are they pretty happy?
Actually, our neighbors love us because if they have a snake in their yard, who are they going to call? It's not Ghostbusters.
Is it hard to reptile-proof your house? It's tough with a baby, I know, I imagine, with some.
Well, we don't have no babies. The boy is 30 years old.
So okay.
But, it's not that hard. You just keep the doors shut and the windows locked.
Really? That's good with raising children, too, actually, as I think about it. What did you bring with you?
Ah, I can go pick up a couple of alligators and bring them out.
Oh, if you have to, that'd be fine. I guess just to make it interesting.
Actually, both of these come on the rescue. One of them's name is Squirt, and you can figure out why he got his name. We got him out of a swimming pool in Southside, and as soon as we pulled him out, he squirted all over my wife.
Uh-oh.
So that's where he got his name. And the other one is Wally. Wally is one of our larger ones that we have.
Squirt and Wally.
Wally is almost 4 foot right now. And a handable, holdable, dog tame, baby, I mean, the whole bit. We let 3 and 4 years hold him.
Everyone on stage is anxiously awaiting the arrival of these gators.
Their mouths are taped, so we didn't want any little kids sticking their fingers in their mouths. So, here they come.
They're cute.
Oh, here comes the babies.
Squirt and Wally.
These are the babies.
Oh, they're pretty sweet.
Yeah. Let me just take this here.
Oh.
Is this Squirt or Wally?
This is Squirt.
Hey, Squirt. They're actually very adorable at this stage. I get the. Really? Should I? Oh, my God. I kind of like Squirt. He's not going to squirt on me, is he?
Nice.
He's nice. Hi. How are you? You're very sweet. I think he likes me. Yeah.
Wally wants help.
Is he waving or is he trying to get at me? Squirt is adorable. Actually, very sweet. And this is Wally. Hi, Wally. Didn't mean to ignore you. May I?
Yeah, you can pay. He doesn't mind.
Yeah. You like any place in particular? Is there a spot he likes better than others?
Like, everywhere.
Okay.
Oh yeah. See, eyes closed.
Oh yeah. Hi, Wally.
We've had Wally about 6 years now. He come first on the rescue. He was about the size of Squirt when we got him.
Isn't that sweet? Well, you really could find. They're very appealing.
Good boys.
Yeah. Isn't that sweet? They don't sleep with you,
Why
do they, or anything like that?
When you can have an alligator.
Yeah. Alligators ever crawl in with you at night?
No. Maybe a tarantula.
Oh, you got to have something in bed with you at night. A tarantula would be just
Wally funny. Stays in our 4-man hot tub on the back porch. So he has the life of leisure.
We used to have a hot tub.
Is there a point at which he's going to have to go out?
4 foot. When they get four foot, they have to go to another sanctuary. Since we do live in a subdivision, we're only allowed up to 4 foot, but we can have as many as we want. So we have 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah.
So
this could only happen in Florida, right?
Only in
Florida.
Most
subdivisions have stricter rules than this.
Oh, yeah.
You can have up to a 4 foot alligator. Is a pretty nice thing. down here. Okay. Very nice. Very love them both. They're sweet. Are they related?
No, they're not related. No, no, no.
Okay.
No, they both come on the rescue. One come from another rescue group, which was Wally.
Yeah.
And we had him about 6 years. And Squirt, we got Squirt because we have Pee-wee too. Squirt come from Southside last year. We got him out of somebody's swimming pool. That was a nuisance gator call.
Yeah.
He actually was a nuisance to somebody. But I guess if he's in a swimming pool, I guess he would be a nuisance.
Now, if they're just crossing the road or something like that, would you get a call on that?
Yeah, we get a call to I-295. We've gotten 3 off the interstate this past year.
Yeah.
Ocean Way, if you live in Ocean Way.
Yeah.
That's where all the big ones are.
Yeah.
I mean, really big ones.
Is there a gator crossing in Ocean Way or not?
No, but there should be as many times as we go over there.
Yeah, yeah. And not that anyone should try this, but what is the technique? Should you encounter one and don't do this?
Call FWC.
Call, yeah, okay, all right.
And then they give us a call.
Do you use like some kind of a...
No, we do it the... We try to do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
We don't try to shoot anything on spot because we don't want to...
No, I didn't mean that. I don't know what this gesture means. Some kind of a hook or something?
We let them flip around, do their thing, and then I jump on them and grab them.
Jump on them and grab them.
Yep.
Okay, that's how I would do it, I guess, if I had to. Now,
Oh, boy.
What we got in here?
We have Con coming out. Now, we had our Con before the Jaguars got their Con. I want everybody to know that. Con is a... one of 20 black dragons in the United States right now. He's a black dragon. He's from the little island off Kamani, and it's off the Indonesia Islands. Right now, there's no zoo in the United States that has one. He's almost full grown right now, they're having a hard time getting him out.
This one is not so small.
No, he's not so small. He actually eats 2 to 3 pounds of meat every other day.
His mouth
and
is
let
taped,
me see
right?
If I, let me see if I can help her get him.
Yeah, is it like a Komodo dragon?
It's in the Komodo dragon family.
It's in the Komodo dragon family. So anyone in that family is something to consider.
It's making me very nervous that it's happening behind me.
He's like a black Komodo dragon.
Oh, he's wearing a turtleneck.
Quite huge.
He's wearing
and
a turtleneck
sweater. And he's got a GoPro on his back, so that's cool, because he's in Florida, right?
Yes, he has his GoPro. He wanted to be famous, too. He wanted to get you live on stage.
This one is named...
Khan.
His name is Khan.
That's right. Okay, how could I forget? It's because I'm a little stunned right now, I think.
He's a water monitor.
He's a water monitor. He can actually spend a day under the water about 2 to 3 hours at a time. He's not full grown right yet. He'll be about 8 foot, about 80 pounds.
Yeah. And so where does he stay in your house?
He has a big cage.
He has a big 10-foot by 10-foot cage outside in the summertime.
Yeah.
With his own pond, a cement pond.
Oh, there he did it.
Uh-oh.
Hey, that was impressive. And we were worried about Squirt. Whoa, mama. All right.
Good thing we're serving food next, huh?
Another first for What Do You Know, ladies and gentlemen. It's a nice pattern, actually. It's rather abstract. Just happen to have paper towels with you. That's a good thing. Okay. Put them back by the band here. They're used to that kind of stuff. I don't know. I mean, I understand the situation. Probably is a little nervous. Was that a nervous reaction, do you think?
No, we tried to feed him real well so we wouldn't have any bit fingers.
So he ate a lot before he came here. Yeah. Okay. All right. This one's a little harder to warm up to, I've noticed.
Even though it's
beautiful.
Wearing...
a beautiful creature, but...
Yeah, he's actually one of 20, so he's pretty rare. Not a lot of people have him.
Yeah, and I love the turtleneck.
Yeah, he was a little chilly this morning. You know, Florida has a little chilly weather, and he likes it really, really hot, so we made sure he has a sweater on this morning.
Yeah. And What does he like to do when he does
he loves
he play?
Birthday parties. He loves kids. We put him down in your living room. The kids get all over him. He loves
That's right. You are available for birthday parties and other functions. Right. Do you ever do corporate meetings or something?
We do corporate meetings. We do just about anything. We do homeschool, anything to raise money for the reptile rescue.
Yeah. Attractive fellow with the GoPro. Let's hear it for Khan. Let's hear it for Khan. Everyone wave to Khan. Otherwise, he gets an upset stomach. Anything more back there, or is this this is the height of it?
Oh, no, this is the small one. Yeah. We have something a little bit bigger.
Coming out now? Okay, all right. Let's wrangle Khan back.
One of those invasive things.
Oh, you got an invasive thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. We got an invasive species.
How did you come upon Khan?
Well, a friend of ours had him, and I was going to breed him and have babies, and it didn't work out, and they knew that we do educational shows with them. And,
so he brought it in from somewhere.
Yes.
Where does Khan come from?
Kumani. It's a little island off Indonesia.
Okay.
And that's where they're from.
Yeah.
And there's only about 20 captive bred ones in the United States right now. Khan's one of them.
Okay. He's about, so your friend had this idea of breeding these things, and
It's very lucrative business.
Yeah.
And to breed those, yes, the baby runs about $5,000.
Okay.
For one baby, yes.
Yeah, you can see why they'd be. You know, expensive. Usual pet or something. Okay, and now is this a python we got back here now?
We have a Burmese python. His name's Julius Squeezer.
Oh. Half the fun is naming them, isn't it?
Yeah, our grandkids do the naming. We ran out of names a long time ago.
Julius Squeezer is backstage, and
I think he might need some help.
Who's going to help him?
Well, don't you want to give a shot?
Jeff? Put down your bass, Jeff. Come on. You're the only guy here who's got any wherewithal. Come on, Jeff. Come on, help me. Help, can you help me? Because I can't do it. I got the disc in the back. And I got the hip displacement here, dysphagia. I got dysphagia here. Come on.
Let's hear it for Jeff.
Put down your bass. Come on. Come on. Put it down. Come on. Put your bass down. It's no different than playing the bass. Wrangling a python is just like playing the... Oh, geez. Whoa, he just keeps coming, doesn't he?
Oh, my God.
Jeff, come on. Leave your bass. He won't get it. Whoa.
It's taking three people to carry
Chris.
Julius Squeezer out.
Yeah. Very nice. Let's just get in there. No, you're not going to put it around me.
Yeah,
right?
Feel the muscles?
Yes. And I feel they have to be around your neck. Is that required? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is that friendly? Is this friendly so far?
Yeah.
Oh, there's an experience I hope never to have again. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, but it's... Oh,
my God. He's half grown.
I see Garrison Keeley never did this for you. So, what's his name again?
His name is Julius Squeezer. He's half grown.
Does he know his name? Is he
Snakes.
Julius... Okay.
Quit squeezing him.
Introductions are over, Julius. Oh, man. It's a gorgeous creature. And that felt really terrible and scary. Because you can feel the muscles tightening around.
Very, very muscle.
Yeah. I mean, he could get around lots of things at this
size. Oh, yeah. This size, he can hurt something really small.
How does it work with these guys? Do they squeeze them first and then they eat them? Or?
Yeah, they wrap around, and it doesn't matter how big they are. They wrap twice. If it's a 10-foot snake or a 20-foot, they wrap twice, and that's all. And then they eat a whole head first.
Yeah. Head first, okay.
Head first.
Do they ever bite off more than they can chew?
Well, this one here did once. My wife's son was feeding him and got scared, dropped the bunny, and he missed the bunny and grabbed his leg. So It wasn't no big deal. A little bit of alcohol spray on his face, and he lets go. You know, no big deal. I didn't.
How far did he get? Knee, hip?
Well, he got him around the knee, but he didn't get in the cage with him, so we kept him out of the cage. So.
Okay, now these things can happen. What is his normal diet?
12-pound bunnies about every month, a month and a half.
Just bring their bunnies by to donate, or how did it?
No, we get these from the market. These are bunny rabbits. These aren't people's pets. These are actually from the market, and we don't feed anything live. Everybody eats thawed frozen, so he doesn't eat a live bunny.
And this whole thing with the pipe there, that's supposed to be thousands of them now, right, in Florida?
Well, if you really know reptiles, the people that are going down there, which we've been, they're not down there like they say they are. Senator Nelson's a politician, and he does a lot of that, so... If you watch the...
He does a lot of squeezing on his own.
Oh, yeah, sir. Yeah.
So, but there are many of them. And it's all because people had them as pets and then released them?
The hurricanes, Hurricane Andrew devastated South Florida. These guys got loose then. People are not letting them go because they can sell them. Why let them go when you can sell something like this? Right now, they are illegal. You have to have special permits for these guys, so we are one of the few in Jacksonville that does. So with our birthday parties, 10-year-old, 10 kids get to hold this. And it's really a really strong. It's all about education with these guys.
Well, thank you so much for bringing Julius Squeezer on and the other wonderful animals. It makes you appreciate a python. You hear so many bad things about them, but look at that face. Look at that face. Thank you guys so much. Reptile Rescue, ladies and gentlemen, from Jacksonville. Who do you call? That was awesome. Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. You know, with one of those things wrapped around your neck, you don't even think about resisting. You know, you're like, this is it. I am done. You know, you feel it's a massive power. It's like being in a vice, but it feels kind of good in a way. You know, if it didn't overdo it. Will you please tell me that Trump will not be our next president? Okay, Trump will be our next president. Okay. Feel better? You're about to be executed. What would you choose for your last meal? I think an endless salad. Bottomless salad. I've been thinking about this for some reason. I don't know. I don't expect to be in that situation. What would you choose for your last meal? Osteen's.
Fried shrimp. Best fried shrimp in the world.
To die for, huh? Fried shrimp to die for. Okay. Will I make it out of here in time for my kayak tour at 2 o'clock? He's probably gone already. Gary Shriver? Shriver? Still here? You got a kayak tour? What is a kayak tour? Wait a second. You're all set to go here. Huh? You got your gear on. You're all geared up. Where do you take these kayaks?
Well, we go to Kayak Amelia, which is the Hexer Drive area. Yeah, pretty nice. I got 70 people to do today, so. Yeah,
they're all waiting for you right now?
Yeah, they are.
Okay. You got on? You want to leave now?
No, I'm going to wait. I'll wait.
Thanks, man. Nice to have you here. All right, we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do here, and one of you will get a chance to play the quiz, and we can... Okay, I guess it'll be you then, because you're a big guy. I'm not going to fight you for it.
Oh, no, don't say that. How you doing?
All right, good. And you are?
Mike.
Mike? Yes, just go by Mike.
Okay. Yeah, not Michael. Actually, Mike on my birth certificate.
Oh, Mike is on your birth certificate?
Yes.
No last name, though, huh?
McGregor.
Are they hiding the McGregor, or they just put a Mike on there?
I'm proud of my Irish descent.
Okay, should be. Mike, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because my name's Mike, not Michael, on my birth certificate.
All right, that's a reason anyhow. I don't... Come on, Mike. Call me Mike. My mother insisted I be called Michael. And, you know, I don't really care one way or the other.
You know what the sad thing is? I got a brother named Udo and a sister named Ursula.
Whoa.
And I'm like,
you came out best in the family, didn't you? It's Mike. Udo.
Yeah. Udo.
That's good, man. So Mike, what do you do these days?
I actually have a pallet company in warehouse logistics. Jacksonville is the capital of logistics.
Logistics. You got to move it. Jacksonville.
Yeah,
right?
I'm actually kind of in a quandary. You know, they're all talking about doing the channel, you know, digging up the river and everything. It's like, you got the pro side and the con side. For me, it's good for business, but at the same time, for the nature route, it's kind of like.
Yeah. Go for business.
Yeah, business.
Yeah. Dredge it. Come on. Got to get some things moved here. Okay, Mike, you know how this quiz works? Someone plays along with you, and you're familiar with it?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. And are you pretty good at trivia things? Not that it is.
Sometimes. Mike says I am.
Okay. All right, cool. Someone out there calls in, and in order to do that, we have to do a qualifying question, don't we?
We do. Yeah. They're going to need a phone number.
They will? What is that?
That phone number is 904-717-7950.
All right, the number one priority for the Jacksonville Jaguars in terms of a player they must get for the next season to be entirely successful. What position are we talking about? Number one priority, according to sports writers, for the Jacksonville Jags, what position are we looking for the Jaguars in this coming season that will make all the difference in the world? If you know, give us a call here at, what's that number again?
That number again is 904-717-7950.
Does that spell something?
It does not, unfortunately.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay, here, Vincent's on the line. Hey, Vince, how are you? Oh, no, he's not. Okay, we had Vincent for a minute there, but he thought better of it. Number one priority for the Jacksonville Jags, position-wise, they're looking for, there's actually a lot of positions that would qualify. So I'm not going to quibble if you say the wrong one. Believe me, a lot of positions here that are worth looking at, I would think. Number one priority for the Jags. Let's see, we got... no, not that one either. We got... okay, that's not working out either. Okay. Let's try this one again. No, okay. And there's Steve. No, Steve is... Oh, here, Pete. Okay, I don't know what's going on the phones, but it's kind of crazy. Pete is somewhere. No, he's not. Let's go to... Is this Pete?
No.
Hi, who are you? That's okay.
I'm Wes.
You're Wes?
Yeah.
Okay, Wes, where are you? Are you in Jacksonville?
No, I'm actually in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, you're in Columbus, Ohio. Then you know about the Jaguars and their needs as far as...
They need a lot.
They need a lot. Okay, what do you think they need the most, Wes?
Can I go with several positions?
Pick any one, you know. I don't care. Just pick one.
Let's go with quarterback.
No.
Not a popular choice.
No.
Want to try another position? Oh, wait. You know, go ahead, Wes. You're
sure. Let's go with halfback.
What? Halfback? No, I'm sorry. The crowd is booing you down. I'm sorry. Thanks very much, Wes.
Thanks.
I was willing to compromise in some of these positions. Matt, is that you, Mac?
Yes.
Hi, Mac. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Are you here in town, Jacksonville?
I'm actually from Dalton, Georgia.
Oh, okay. Well, do you follow the Jaguars?
Do I follow the Jaguars?
Yeah.
Not really.
Oh, okay. Any advice on who they should draft or obtain?
Who they should draft?
Yeah, the position.
They probably get some quarterbacks.
Okay, maybe this is not the best question.
I would
here.
Say I think, try Jacksonville guy.
Yeah, Jackson. Let's see if that's actually Pete there. Is that Pete?
I'm here.
Is that you, Pete?
Yeah.
Okay, Pete, what do you think? What do they need?
You know, you got the only guy in Jacksonville that knows nothing about that team. I mean, I really don't. But let me just say tight end. How's that?
How's
that
tight end?
Think defense.
Is that like a safety or something? I don't know.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. No, I'm afraid not. However, Deborah's on the line here. Deborah, tell us what they need.
I guess it'd be maybe a kicker.
Yeah.
All right, a kicker. We'll accept that.
Definitely
what the
a
heck?
Kicker, yes. Yeah.
All right, a kicker is always a good thing to have. You can't quibble with that. Is this Deborah?
It is.
Okay, good. Deborah, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Did we catch you at a good time? Are you doing something? Or?
I am actually on my way home with a sleepy year-old from Costco.
Oh, from
Costco. It's been an adventure of a Saturday.
You got a six-year-old at Costco. They got everything there, don't they? Deborah, this is Mike. He's your partner.
Hello, Deborah.
Hello? Deborah?
She's gone.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
wow. Jeez, we had one, too.
Oh, no.
Deborah, are you there? Six-year-old probably heard that. And
call us back.
Grab the phone.
904.
If she was driving, she shouldn't probably be talking while she's driving, and the six-year-old knows that. Even a six-year-old knows that. Okay, any position here. Let's see. Kathy. Kathy in La Crosse. Kathy? Okay, maybe not. Deborah again? No. Hi, who's this?
Me.
Who's this?
Hello?
Hello?
Might have the wrong number here.
You got the wrong number. Okay, that's cool. We'll take you anyhow. Listen, you follow the Jaguars. Huh?
This might be awesome, yes.
Yes, well, great. I got three.
Don't hang up, man.
How are you guys doing?
Good. Who's this?
Scott from Jacksonville also.
Scott, what do they need, the Jaguars?
I'm not sure if I know a whole lot about the Jaguars, but I also agree that we need a kicker.
A kicker. Gosh darn it. All right,
we'll
Scott. All right.
I'm on the show, right?
You're on the show, right?
Yeah, you're on the show.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, we were all excited, believe me. In fact, that was so important, we're going to count that as one right. All right, that's one right.
Sounds good to me, Michael.
Huh?
Sounds good to me.
Yes, okay. And what are the categories that are left?
And they're going to only get one shot at this. So yeah. The categories for this are going to be current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
All right, Mike, what would you like?
I'm going science.
Science it is. Okay, for all the money here. Okay, if you're a diurnal fish-eating bird of prey with a cosmopolitan range, what are you? It's a raptor, I'll tell you that.
Say that again.
You're a diurnal fish-eating bird of prey with a cosmopolitan range. What are you?
Am I talking with Pete here?
Scott?
Yes.
Yeah, Scott, weigh in, Scott. What do you think that would be?
Right, my
ostrich. Oh, yeah. Speaking of, what's up with that ostrich thing in the Jaguar uniform?
I think you said osprey, not ostrich.
Oh, osprey.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that's supposed to be?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
But I'll go with the osprey. I'm definitely down with the osprey.
I have to cry for a minute now. Would you excuse me? What, Scott? What'd you say,
yeah,
osprey?
I would definitely say Osprey.
Osprey is right. Congratulations. You won the Meshuggah What Do You Know quiz.
Mike, you'll enjoy Volcano in a Box from the Museum of Science and History on the south bank of St. John's River, cotton candy from Papa John's Peanuts, a koozie from Brian and Sue Miller of Jacksonville's Bold City Brewery, barbecue sauce from Bono's, serving real pit barbecue since 1949, tickets to see Paula Poundstone here at the Florida Theater in April,
yay, Paula!
Breakfast and a travel mug from McDonald's, a USB storage device from the U.S. Army, and coffee from Urban Grind in the urban core of Jacksonville since 2010. Scott, you've won tickets to a preseason game of the Jacksonville Jaguars, along with a souvenir pennant.
Thank you, Mike.
Of Jacksonville poster from 904 Paper Company.
Thank you, Scott.
To a special screening of Disney's Zootopia and a pair of sunglasses from iHeartRadio. Brownies from sisters Helga and Pilar Langton at Mocha Miski Brownie Shop. A pair of shot glasses from the Museum of Science and History. Tickets to hear trumpeter Chris Botti on March 13th. And grilling seasoning from Fresh Jack's Food and Yoga. Congratulations to both of you on winning these prizes from Jacksonville in a Box.
Oh, yeah. Here's the good stuff. Chef Tom Gray, ladies and gentlemen, from Moxie. Oh, and shut the hell up. I know you're saying that right now because that's one of his fantastic drinks, but it's all good. We were there last night, and it was unbelievably good. There was nothing that wasn't absolutely the best. And it's a beautiful place that they actually designed themselves, you know. It's an amazing place. And is this a shut the hell up?
It is.
Thank you. Let's see if it works, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what we call a tall glass of shut the hell up.
Oh, boy, that goes down smooth. I bet it comes up smooth pretty. Delicious. Well, you got to serve here. I can't talk to you. Did I talk to you while you're serving? You're mixing. You're mixing. And
a little bit of mixing, a little bit of shaking.
Okay.
We have some stirring going on. So,
oh,
yeah,
let me do this so you can actually do it. So what are you mixing up here, Chef?
This one is called Walk, Don't Run. This is our bourbon cocktail that is.
John stood up for that one, so I guess he gets.
Does John likes bourbon?
John likes anything that's got alcohol in it, but.
So this is bourbon Aperol Coke Americana. This has been on our menu since we opened. It's one of the favorites.
Does that suit you, John?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to just grab my drink here since we're all talking about liquor.
Yeah. So this is what
did
puts...
Did you mixology? How did you... Is that... You go to culinary school, do they teach you mixology as well?
No, that's part of that spent youth problem.
I think you spend it pretty good, your youth. I mean, you know.
Actually, I have a barman, as they call them, bar manager that does most of our cocktails. I work with them on them because they're fun and personal interest. So.
And you're a master chef that actually cooks. How is that even possible? They're not usually actually in the kitchen. They're walking around telling people what to do, right?
Because I love it. I love to cook. But I do have a great team. So I'm not actually cooking on the line every night. I'm in the kitchen most. See, like Al, you know, he's actually cooking the...
Hey, Al. How are you, man?
So we make a good team. I made your short ribs and he made your fried chicken. So.
Yeah, what do we have here? Tell us, describe.
So this one is our chicken and waffles, and it has...
Back up for a second.
Okay.
I'm from Wisconsin. We never put chicken on a waffle in Wisconsin.
Why not?
Well, it's a southern thing, right? Is it a Florida thing? It's a southern thing in general, isn't it?
It's a southern thing, yeah. But we decided to do something...
Well, that was a leap of faith to put your chicken on a waffle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who had that?
Who thought of that? They probably made it as a sandwich. They had some old waffles laying around and put some fried chicken in the middle. But we wanted to do something a little bit different. So we actually make waffles, and then we tear them up and make them into a waffle pudding, make another waffle, put it on top, bake the whole thing together, and it's this like rich, decadent, almost like a waffle bread pudding. So it's not your classic chicken and waffles, but it's rich. It has some goat cheese in it, and we top it with a maple mousse pepper jelly. So, and then the other one...
All right. I don't know. I shouldn't do this because I'm working. This is amazing. Now, what is this stuff here?
That's the maple mousse.
Just the mousse, huh?
Oh,
Michael?
Man, that alone is unbelievable.
Yeah, so that's Vermont maple syrup that we turn into a mousse.
Ah, let me get to the waffle here.
You actually take a mousse and a maple.
Oh, it's delicious.
And then, the fried...
And then there's chicken.
Almost as a bonus, there's chicken.
Oh, my God.
So good. And then we make a little homemade pepper jelly. This dish was such a fun dish to come up with that myself and
I wish you could taste this. I wish you could all taste it. But we would have a ride here trying to get to it.
The other dish, and that's actually a great dish with
so good.
A bourbon cocktail. If you're wondering. In case you wanted to do a cocktail pairing, the bourbon and the fried chicken tended to be a good.
What is this now?
Yeah, this is our bourbon cocktail. That's the Walk Don't Run, and that's a great combination.
Does it go well with the?
It follows that well.
Shut up! So, yeah. Shut up and get away from me, whatever it's called.
Was that a directive or a?
Very nice. I like them both. I don't know. That takes me one direction and this brings me back.
It's a great way to stay balanced.
It really is. It's a yin and it's a yang. You know what I'm saying? And it's a chicken and it's a waffle. It's a very much, it's a yin and yang thing.
And adding an egg to the chicken and waffles is a great way to enjoy
Wonderful.
It.
Wonderful. This, and this mousse is
that is delicious.
Do you sell you. Jars of the mousse by any chance?
We could, yeah.
Oh, man. If you could taste that.
But you have to make it, it doesn't hold very well.
Yeah.
So we actually were cooking in the alley.
Is this the short rib here?
This is the short rib.
And so, tell me what's special about this, because everything is special.
Oh, sure. This is Seminole Pride beef. It's a beef short rib. We put it on what we call redneck risotto, which is Midlands, rice Midlands.
I had some of your redneck risotto last night. It was delicious.
Thank you.
With my schnitzel.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And
it's delicious.
So that's Seminole Pride beef. That is the first true Florida beef that was bred, raised, and finished in Florida. Because mm-hmm. most beef was sent out to feedlots. Although Florida is a big cattle country, it gets sent out to feedlots. So we are...
What is that that's so good?
It's a beef short rib.
But what do you do to it?
We marinate it for about 24 to 48 hours in red wine and various assorted spices.
That's a good thing to do to it.
Yeah. And one other little thing we do to it is actually put Dr. Pepper in the glaze when we cook it.
Dr. Pepper. a little southern twist.
Yeah. Yeah. But that might be a little bit of what you're picking up on.
And it makes me all forget about the chicken and the waffles.
Now they're competing for placement.
And
here.
I was in love with the chicken and the waffles, but now give me the short rib with the Dr. Pepper. That's delicious. And the risotto.
The risotto. And there's a little chow chow on there.
Yep.
So this dish.
How do you make this risotto thing? What is it? The redneck risotto?
It is rice Midlands, which are grown here. Rice is grown right here in Jacksonville.
Oh, that's right.
Midlands are broken rice. Mm-hmm. And so we call it risotto because it resembles that, you know, that look of small rice. But it's mm-hmm. truly, like, risotto is a polished rice. This is a broken rice. And this does go through a polish procedure to smooth it out a little bit. But then mm-hmm. we cook it in the style of risotto where we do that slow cook with vegetable stock. And then we fold in the homemade pimento cheese at the very end.
Oh, so, man.
So this dish is
makes you ecstatic.
This dish definitely talks to the local beef.
How
local
did you
rice.
Learn to do all this? A lot of this is you, right? It's not just going to culinary school.
It's from working around the country, and I grew up here. I grew up in Orange Park, which is close to a suburb of Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I traveled. I traveled the country. I cooked in New York City, L.A., San Diego, Napa Valley, and then I came home.
Came home. And you built this gorgeous restaurant. That itself is a story in itself.
Thank you. Yes.
How you did that. So the place to be, Moxie, ladies and gentlemen. The man to know, Chef Tom Gray. Go in there. You'll actually see him there. You can talk to him. Thank you so much. Chef Tom Gray from Moxie, ladies and gentlemen.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine with assistance from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Rao.
PRI.